Good morning and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Friday, which we call Good Friday, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. At the ninth hour, that is, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Good Friday, Jesus yielded up his spirit. Before the sun went down, and the Sabbath, that is Saturday, would come, Jesus was buried quickly. Now an evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Now on Saturday, the tomb was secured as securely as men knew how. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went, made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. See, the chief priests and the Pharisees were concerned that someone would steal the body and then go about preaching a resurrection from the dead. Therefore, Roman guards were appointed, and a large stone was rolled to secure the tomb. A Roman seal was added, that if broken, would be punishable by death. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. After the Sabbath, which ended at sundown, Saturday night, on the first day of the week, that is Sunday, the first Easter Sunday, or the first Resurrection Sunday, if you like, women were the first ones to the tomb. We read in Mark that they also brought spices that they might come and anoint him. These women had yet to understand the truth of Jesus' words. They had yet to believe that they were not going to find Jesus in that tomb. So they show up there at the tomb, and they have a little problem. Now, we might say a big problem. A big problem for man, a little problem for God. There's a large stone and a Roman guard there. But in verse 2 we read, Matthew 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." So we've got an earthquake and we've got an angel. God solved what for these women seemed like an insurmountable problem. God specializes in that sort of thing. What is impossible with men is possible with God. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing is white as snow. So this angel appears in the form of a man. He's got a shining face. See, he's been in the presence of God. And the white clothing indicates that he is a holy angel. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The guards are afraid. They're as good as dead. If that stone, that seal was broken and that stone was rolled away from the door, and these guards are responsible for making sure that that doesn't happen, these guards are in trouble. And they fear, not only for their life, but because of the countenance of the angel, which is exceedingly great. See, unbelievers are afraid of the resurrection. And so they ought to be. But believers need not fear. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7, we have the very first Easter Sunday sermon that was ever preached. And it's 3 verses long, and it was preached by an angel. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Fear not. It's a common message of angels to believing men and women. The angel had been let in on a few of the things that would be likely to occur. And he knows that these women are seeking Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. You know, the ancient church used to greet one another after this manner. One individual would say, "He is risen." And the response would be, "He is risen indeed." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Now, there's no contradictions in God's word. This fear is a holy fear, an awesome fear, a reverent fear, an amazement at what God has done and the things that they had seen and heard. So these women of faith get busy right away. They've got godly fear and godly joy, and they've got some evangelizing to do. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren and go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So Jesus meets them on the way. And as they serve, what are they found doing? They worship. They worship as they're going along serving. There's this a phrase that a lot of the folks in the early church also would like to use. You find this in the writings of some of the pilgrims, and they call the worship of God their happy duty. And I love that phrase, their happy duty. It's our duty to attend to the worship of the Lord, both publicly and privately, and we ought to be happy about it. It's good news. God has no need of miserable Christians, curmudgeons with long faces. But he calls us all to rejoice. Rejoice. The risen Christ is indeed proven to be divine. He has put the stamp on his work. A few further applications surrounding our text. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Notice that the angel did not roll away the stone to let Jesus out. He rolled away the stone to let the women in so that they could see that Jesus wasn't there. Jesus had already taken up his life again, slipping right through his grave clothes and right through the stone. No problem for Jesus. He himself said, "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So the Jews, the chief priests and the Pharisees, thought that they were putting Jesus to death, giving him a death sentence. The Romans thought they were putting him to death. But Jesus went to the cross because that was God's plan. Not man's plan, God's plan. The women were the first witnesses to the empty tomb. The Bible records 12 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul even challenges people to hear and to consider the testimony of over 500 brethren, to whom Jesus appeared at once. Today, come as the angel bids into the empty tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. God in flesh has paid the penalty for your sins at the cross and is risen from the dead. Receive the promise. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. That day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Jesus spoke these words to the disciples in the upper room. And they hadn't quite gotten it yet, that first Easter morning. But they figure it out soon enough. If you have come to the empty tomb this morning believing, then rejoice and go and preach the good news. But somebody may be here among us at the empty tomb, not believing. Or worse, not caring. Most surely I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most surely I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. He's given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Friends, there is a resurrection coming. Jesus was the first one. He was the first fruits. But there is a resurrection coming. Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, have died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. If you are without Jesus, then you are without hope. If you do not want eternal life in heaven, the Lord will not drag you there kicking and screaming. You will simply not have it. Eternal hell with the devil, who was defeated at the cross and by the power of the resurrection, will be your lot in the afterlife. I hope that when it is said to you this morning, today, tomorrow, he is risen, that truly you can respond believing, he is risen indeed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word. We thank you that you followed through with your plan for the ages, that your Son went to the cross, paid the penalty for our sins in full by his blood. And we thank you that once our sins were purged, that you proved your victory over death, by the resurrection. Lord God, we thank you for this gospel, this good news. May your people rejoice. May any of those who have not yet, up till this point, up to this day, believe the gospel, may they accept your gracious truth that you so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.